This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey everyone, I'm Wa.
And I'm Chris, and welcome to DocuSweeties.
We're two longtime friends who discuss the riveting and mostly trashy world of reality TV and some docuseries.
Yes, but through our own lens, which can be in New Orleans, so Cajun. It can be in Greece, so Roman. It can be in Long Beach or LA. We're not quite sure, or Santa Monica. It could be in a bunch of places. But at the end of the day, hopefully something mildly sweet. Hello.
Hi. Hi. So today we're talking 90 Day Single Life Season 4, Episode 8, Chantel Gets a Taste. That is so misleading. Like, this episode is way less about Chantel than almost every other. It should have been like Veronica Gets Back. It should be like Jamal is a Gaslighter. That's what the name of this episode should have been. Jamal is a Gaslighter.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about it. I had an opposite opinion of you. I thought that she was beyond crazy.
Oh, I think that he is a gaslighter and a little kid. He's immature. Okay, let's start off with Chantel, though. So Chantel and her friends get invited to a festival. What festival? They are not aware of it until they get there. And she's just like, I'm so excited to see his culture.
Yeah, it was interesting because we're like, oh, exciting. Now they pull up and the festival is a bunch of it's outdoor picnic tables and long picnic tables with people sitting, like, obviously family style, you know, just that's what we see. So we're like, oh, okay. Also, yeah, this, you know,
The environment,
I can't imagine a world,
gives you something. The environment shows you what you're getting into. Go ahead.
Yeah, it almost looked like low-key like a not Hawaiian luau, you know, like that kind of thing, just like it kind of that little vibe or whatever. I didn't see any pigs, but it's so interesting because if someone was like, hey, do you want to go to a festival tonight? I'd be like, great. What festival? And they would be like, blobbity blue, bloobity bloops. I'd be like, what is that? And they would answer. I just can't imagine a world like Chantel's world where she's like, hey, what's happening? And that person's like, what are you doing tonight? And she's like, nothing. And he's like, do you want to go to a festival? And she's like, okay. And then she just leaves and gets dressed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, okay. And then that's it. That's all she needs to know, because now she's going to get, you know, hair and makeup on. But yeah. This festival is a festival of snails, honey. It's this festival of the snail. Have you ever eaten snails?
I want to say no, but I think that I might have in New York City one time. I had a very adventurous friend who would, like, make me eat all kinds of things. And so maybe one of those things. Yeah, I wasn't. One of those things was snail. But I would have done that, though, Chris. So I see what you're saying. But if somebody were to invite me to a festival in a foreign place, I'm just like, I don't know. It doesn't matter what the festival's for. I don't know.
Why? What do you mean? What is it for? Like, because it's like exciting to know, because you're curious, because you're gonna like take part. What's the festival for? Like, what a special time? I'm like a Disney princess. Like, I'm in Greece during what special time? I can't wait to find out what special time. I'd like Google it. You know, I would just like later on find out, like, what do you wear to the Blobbity Blue Snail Festival? You know, like, what do they do there? Is there a TripAdvisor review about it that I could read? I'll kill you right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Wahma, you wouldn't go on TikTok and be like, what's happening at the snail festival? Like, like, I feel like you do your, you know?
No, you do your research. You need to know everything about every single situation that you would come into. Yeah. Yes. And it's so interesting. Chris is the one of us that does all of the research on everything. And she's so, she knows, but don't ask her because then her brain freaks out. Like, she's like, I don't, you guys would not even know. This girl goes deep diving into any fucking thing that she wants to know. But the things that she needs to know, absolutely will do not a dive deep, not a deep dive. Okay. Not a deep dive.
I have
dive.
An answer. Anyways. Yes. I have an answer. Listen, I've said this before. My knowledge, I'm already like 42 or whatever. Like, I can't believe I told you my natural age, but like, see this water bottle? It has water in it, right? Like, already, there's already water in it. So if you put more water in it, what?
That's the smallest opening. You just like,
that's what he said. If you put more water, I know, you put more water in, some will leak out, some will just fall out, because it's just, you know, and so at the same time, it's like, I can't know everything, you know, and I think that, yes, I'm very smart, but sometimes the pressure can be a little too much for me to just like,
yeah, so you have a
for
out.
Everything for everyone all of the time, but anyway,
and you know the answer. It's funny. Anywho, sometimes. So she,
I don't have the energy to give it.
Yeah, but you're smart, and you're like, I don't know. So she gets there, and she's like, oh, I imagine at this festival we are going to be cuddling. I imagine at this festival I don't know. But when she got there, she didn't go, oh, there's going to be no cuddling. Okay. I see what's happening now. It's not the Renaissance Fair. It's not a walk around situation. It is a pay your entrance fee at the door, sit down, and people will bring you food and wine and other things. And she cannot handle that. She's sitting next to her friend and she's like, he hasn't even like gotten up and asked me to sit on his lap yet. I don't understand. I thought we were going to be like cuddling. And then he's like, oh, it's a snail festival. And she's like, snail, like, I know what escargot is. And I'm like, girl, you're not in fucking France. So call it whatever it is in Greece, in Greek. And so then she's like, I don't want to eat this. And like, I know what oysters are. Oysters are for, as an aphrodisiac. And I'm like, bitch, you are not at an oyster festival. Why didn't you even bring up oysters? Like, are you saying that oysters are the snails of the sea? But I'm pretty sure they're sea snails. I don't know for sure, but I'm sure there's other things that we eat in the sea that is more akin to, but you don't like oysters either. Chris doesn't like anything from the sea, you guys.
All of these, all of these are not for me.
For the Francophile, you couldn't do escargot?
No.
Oh, tell us more.
Oh, I have weird food. I have weird food things. They're just not things I eat. I mean, I'm not weird food things. Like, I'm just very American. So unfortunately I eat chicken, I eat beef, I eat turkey, you know, I eat like cured pork, and that's fucking it. Like, I'm not even like super like Western American where I could be like, give me some elk. I like that elk protein. Bison's so good for you. Like, nope. I don't eat goose on Christmas. Duck, no thanks. No frog legs, no alligator. I'm cool. Like, I keep my meats on the DL, you know, like just the basic one. I'm like the basic
no goose,
bitch.
No duck?
I'm a pumpkin spice latte of meats. And I wish I didn't even eat real. I mean, whatever, meats are meats. It's just, I don't, you know, I spent a long time being vegetarian. So
yeah, girl, I was there during the vegetarian age.
I know. So I'm not someone who wants to eat. I don't want to even think it. Yeah, I don't want something to even look like it's from an animal. So that sounds incredibly privileged. Like, I should know that it's an animal. Of course I do. But like, I cannot texture. No thanks. I cannot do it. Okay. That's not, you can't. I like ground beef. I know that sounds horrible. Like, you know, I just can't. I just have to like consume it, the protein, and then just not think and like pray and like be grateful that someone gave me their life. You know, God bless.
Yeah, you're right.
Somebody.
I understand what you're saying, and I hear you. Now, back to Chantel. So she couldn't eat it, and she like spits it out or whatever, but they don't show that.
She got a taste.
Yeah, she got a little taste of whatever the juices were in that. And then she's upset because he isn't paying attention to her.
Yeah. She wants to be, she wants that male attention. And they're sitting at a, like a table where all of her friends are on one side and he's on the other side with his friends and she doesn't speak their language. And so all she and we see is him kind of like talking to his bro friends, sometimes looking at her, sometimes whatever, speaking in a different language. Now, I'll tell you right now, why aren't they giving us subtitles for them? Right?
I don't know.
They know, like, they're not speaking in a made-up language. You know what I'm saying? It's, like, either Greek or whatever he is. Like, I think he's from, I forgot where he's actually from.
I don't know. But there, I don't know. Here's the truth. I don't know enough about Greek to understand if there's many different languages in Greece or dialects of the Greek language. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are. But I don't know.
They can give us the...
You're right.
They can pay for that. I know.
Yeah, you're right.
So, and they don't because they kind of, I feel like, want us to think that they're like low-key maybe talking shit. Like, it looks kind of like, not in a, like, it does kind of look like they're just kind of like, like, you know, like, I mean, I can't speak it, but, you know, like, and she is just across the table, just like, staring daggers and her and then she's like, it just feels like he's not paying attention to me, and her friend's like, oh, he's totally not, no, he's not, I mean, he's not paying attention to you, you know. And then her other friends, the other two friends, are just like back here just like, we can't even really talk to you, we're so far away, this table is so awkwardly set up, you know. So that's another
I mean, you're right, but here's the truth. If I'm in a festival in a foreign country, I don't need a man who's from that country to pay attention to me. I'm going to figure it out because I'm an adult. Now,
I don't care. I agree. I don't think that she has a security like you do for a bunch of reasons. I'm not, you know, and I think that she is showing her insecurity with wanting and needing attention at every single morsel. And I think that it also screams emotional immaturity, but it's also something that is so very basically a, you know, a hardcore femme trait that we've seen before and we'll see again. You know?
Yeah. She's like, I don't know if we're going to be right for each other in the future, but right now he's not cuddling me in front of everybody. So I don't think so. Okay. Let's move on. Let's move on. Let's go to Debbie because it was a little short one too. And I feel like we want to keep the heavy hitters like Natalie, John, and Veronica to the last. Okay. So Debbie is, been driving around with Ruben until the sun went down. Okay. And now they're on their way to his home and we find out that he's a caretaker for his parents. And so I love that, he is in his 60s and his parents are then, I guess, in their 80s. And so they get to the house and the father is like, hello, huh? Hello, hi, I'm Debbie. Okay. Like he literally, they put a mic on him. He knew what was happening, but he's got to watch his TV. So he's watching TV. He's not, he doesn't care. He's like, cool, Debbie, great. Okay, bye. And so then they go outside and sit in some lovely plastic chairs, just the plastic chairs that is at every cookout that you've ever been to, every backyard. Every like fiesta, siesta, it's there. So they sit on this and then they start talking about some real deal stuff. And he's like, listen, A, you're going to have to move to Miami. B, and help me take care of my kids. I mean, my parents. That is what it is. It is to be with Ruben the Cuban. And Debbie's like, well, this is different because I didn't feel awkward at all. The dad was so sweet. And then we went outside and now I'm like, oh, I have to move to Florida.
This scene is bananas for 1 billion reasons, because Ruben comes in and says the following things in a row, which is like blows your mind. He's like, hey, just so you know, low-key, after last night when I took you on that date and we had the best time of our lives, just so you know, like, my mom wasn't feeling good and ends up she had to go to the hospital. And Debbie's like, why didn't you, Ruben, why didn't you just stay and take care of your mom? And he's like, no, Debbie, it's because my mom would have wanted to die knowing that I like had taken you out last night and maybe danced with you, like, you know, like whatever. And she's like, Ruben, that's crazy. And then Ruben's like, Debbie, just so you know, it's really important to me that we just like, that you move here, that we just like, we're in love and we're going to be together for the rest of our lives. She's like, Ruben, I don't know. I think, let me tell you, my last relationship with Osama, I moved too fast. And so now I just got to really make sure that my heart and my head are together. And Ruben does a fucking 180. He's like, yes, of course, that's what I'm saying. We need to make sure that our hearts, our heads are together and that we take the time necessary to be together. Like, he This part is red flags as red as, if you're on Patreon, you see my shirt, it is red. And I know in my heart of hearts that Miss Debbie feels it. She felt it, that this man, I think, is it for her. The minute that she saw that he, in fact, was more colorful than her, and she saw that, she's like, that's not right. And she was right. And in this moment, this conversation happens. And Debbie, the entire time, has a smile that is there that you know is the kind of generational Southern smile that's on the face of a woman who can grin and bear a situation until it passes. And it's a sort of tight-cheeked smile that makes me feel like she is out mentally. I cannot believe real. I think that even for her, she's like, nope, not even whatever. And maybe she feels like she has a nice man and she's in Miami and he has a tricycle he'll drive around her with. And maybe she feels like she can't go to Julie to be like, I fucked up again, Julie, and this one's even crazier. You know, like, I'm not quite sure which one it is, but I know that in this moment, she would be rather watching like Price is Right or Jeopardy in the House with the Dad than like this conversation with Ruben. And that's what I know.
It's so interesting because they have left that mother in the hospital by herself. Her husband's not there with her. It's not COVID. So I had so many. It's one thing for Ruben to not be there, but the fact that his dad isn't there is problematic. And listen, I don't know their lives. I don't know what she's going through. I wish her all the best, but that was really weird for me. So she's like, I gotta think about it. And then we move on to John.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We are at this, John, but before this, we have a little bit that we want to talk about with John. Cut this out. This is for Patreon only. We're back. So if you guys didn't get to hear that and you did, patreon.com/docusweeties for $10 a month. Okay. Now, John is in the car ride home, very quiet, or somewhere. Okay. They're very, very quiet because now at this point, he's like, how bad could this night be? So he turns to Texas Amy and he's like, you want to go to a bar, get a drink? I think we deserve a drink. And so she's like, okay. So then they go to a bar and have a drink, in which she's just like, wow, that was intense. And he's like, yeah, I didn't expect my family to do all that. And she's like, well, you know, your brother said that you were not interested in having kids. And he's like, I didn't say I wasn't interested in having kids. I said I wasn't interested in a baby. I said I wasn't interested in a baby. And definitely, if I am, I'm not definitely interested in it now. And so she's like, well, I mean, one thing that I do want to put on you is that we can't go much further unless you move to Texas. Like, I just can't do this long distance thing. And he's like, ah, well, I don't like timelines and I don't like ultimatums. So what I'm saying is that maybe I might consider it, but definitely don't ask me to tell you when. And I'm telling you right now, you know, this is triggering for me because I'm like, what do you mean you don't like timelines? How do you plan for anything if you don't have a timeline? Like, I just don't get, how do you know what your day is going to be if you don't go, okay, I'm at 2, I'll do this. At 4, I'll do this. And if by 5, I don't have this done, then I fucked up. And my day is lost. I mean, I don't know, like, how I want to, actually, I'm going to say it in a way where I'm going to call in. I want that ability and I don't have it. I don't know how people do it. So I need to be taught this thing in which someone and their child, yeah, I want to help you with Riva, but like, I don't know if I could do it next week or next month or even next year. I don't want that put on me. I want to take my time to decide when I'm going to do it, leave you on the edge of your seat until I'm ready. And then I'll tell you. And hopefully you're still around. Like, is that? I don't know. Oh, okay. Okay. Great.
Well, that's for him. Yeah. That's what he wants. You know, I think that I think that for him, he maybe thinks, well, you just met my family. I got to get, now I have to marinate and sit and think if this is going to work out. And, you know, like, I think that probably for him, it was a little jarring and, you know, maybe nervous to have like everyone be pointing out obvious you know, issues in their relationship. And so they then suddenly be like, well, let's figure it out right now. Probably he couldn't give an answer that he felt comfortable with and then needed to delay the conversation in order to sit and think about it. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes, yeah, someone's ready to lay everything out and has come prepared with that. The other person mentally may not have been prepared to lay everything out at that time. You know, maybe he literally thought, oh, well, we met my sister and or my sister-in-law, my brother, you're leaving. We're going to have one more time together. Maybe he just wasn't expecting like a intense mind conversation and was in a different vibe. You know, that's a lot of grace I'll give him.
Yeah, that is a lot of grace. I guess what I would say then to that is then say how you're feeling in that moment. Say, my answer is no. Because that's what your answer is to me, is I cannot give you this because I wasn't thinking of that. And so
in this moment, I can't give you an answer to your question in this moment. I have to, you know, you would say then the answer is no.
Yeah. If you tell me I can't give you an answer for that in this moment, then I, as the person who requires an answer, would then go, okay, it's no then. Because otherwise, you would just say, yes, I can do this, or no, I can't do this. And the way that you are stuck is because
you're demanding an answer. You can't just always demand an answer from someone the minute that you want to demand an answer from someone. Doesn't that seem selfish and rude? Like, someone doesn't have to give you 100% their opinion on something the minute you demand their opinion on something.
If I'm in a relationship with them and we're trying to like create something together, then yes, I would say yes, but now I'm thinking about it and I'm like, okay, is that wrong? Okay. That's a good segue for me to now think about. So I shall. Go ahead.
People, I think in a neurodivergent way, like access information and like have different reactions to things differently and their minds work through things differently. And, you know, I think that it's hard to just demand someone to give you something in that moment and then get mad at them if it's not the exact thing that you say and or put upon them an answer that they're not saying. So if like he's like, I can't deal with an ultimatum right now because, you know, and he's just like, I really like and care for you, but like, I can't give you the answer right now because we're at a bar and I'm dealing with, you know, the emotional thing of having just seen. It's a lot to demand of someone in that moment because you want something, you know, which is an immediate, like, it's not that you don't deserve an answer and not you or her. Of course, yes, you can't go your life not thinking like what's happening. You, of course, will get an answer. But I think there's a certain patience and grace of when it will come. It doesn't have to come the minute you ask for. It can come, you know, like that night, later in the morning, 24 hours, give me 3 days, you know, like 24 hours to 3 days, I think is a good time to be able to have someone sit with something and give you a good answer. That's how I would say, you know?
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. USAA. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
All right. Great perspective. Okay. So he's like, I don't want this right now. And then it feels like the very same night he's taking her to the airport. So when she said a day. One.
In and out, honey.
In and
animal
out.
Animal style. Animal dropped, style.
That's what a hamburger is all about. Like, I mean, I mean, it came in and then had sex, went to dinner, gave an ultimatum, went to have drinks, and then took her back to the airport.
That's probably why he was like, ultimatum, you're one day here. I thought we were just going to go and have a date now, you know, like a normal time, you know, like where you're in my, I mean, it's not that they didn't go to Vegas.
They did not.
Like, think about where they went to dinner. Like, I mean, here's the thing. I'm not saying that if you live in Vegas, you're not always going to the strip. And definitely she drove by the strip and she definitely was only there for a night. But it's so funny that like that they're not part of that one night was like, take you to Harrah's. Take you to Golden Nugget?
Not a flamingo.
Right?
I mean, Chris, like, yeah, I don't. Not a show?
She's never been out of Texas.
Not a show. No.
Anyway, there's some she deserves good, better. She deserves more. She deserves more.
So then he takes her to the airport and she's like, well, think about it because we have my daughter to think about. And so at this point, we've been dating for 3 months. I need you to decide like if you are able to move and like really have this relationship, because she recognizes that all they've been doing is fucking in 3-star hotels. Now, he's like, what could go wrong? And then his car starts to smoke. And so he pulls over and I'm just like, your car is smoking? What world? I live in a like, call your dad. Your car is smoking. What do you do? I would be like, what do I do? Dad, my car is smoking. Come pick me up. Okay, well, I can get you. Where are you?
Not 2,000 miles away.
Yeah.
Hey, AAA is the answer. No, everyone's dad is now AAA, honey. You know, I mean, just,
yeah, that's unfortunate. And I think that he should be in all the A's.
I mean, John should be in all the A's, honey, yes. Top to bottom. If it's an A, yeah, sign him up.
NAAA, AAA.
Yeah.
All the batteries, everything. I think about that all the time whenever I see a car on the side of the road because of snow. I'm like, oh my God, do they call their dad? And then you're like, oh, you can't call your dad. Well, Hema, I will still call my dad. Okay. I want you to know that I will still call him and I will make him sit on the phone with me until someone comes. I'll be like, hey,
after you call AAA, because that's
I'm in a ditch. I'm in a ditch. And he's like, okay, call AAA. I was like, okay, I'm gonna hang up and call you back. So then I call AAA and then I call him back and I'm like, okay, they're going to come. What are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm in my garden. You see my oranges? And so he's going to show me his oranges. So I'm in a ditch in the middle of the darkness at 5:30 PM on a snowy Minnesota highway. And my father is at home on a sunny California day picking oranges. Great. Life.
God bless him. So yeah, okay, so let's move on. We have Veronica.
Yeah,
we have Veronica and Natalie. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Veronica, Natalie.
Okay. Let's do Natalie. So mm-hmm. Natalie, we're picking up on Natalie having a cold introduction to her meet off with Josh, which is, I feel like, poorly produced, because the last thing we saw was that she had had they're meeting.
Oh, I thought you said
like standoff. It's like a standoff, like meet off. Because like a standoff meet off. This is why I'm so annoyed by it, because the last we saw of them together was her brilliant Shakespeare monologue where she is given an Academy Award winning role in a new horror movie. We saw that. Then from there, we get her and her mom going to Halloween and going to breakfast, those scenes. And in those scenes, which are now after after that dinner scene, is where we remember what Mike is like. And we talk about how Natalie should have already had kids, but she didn't have kids because she keeps getting married to guys that, yes, love her, but she keeps leaving them, which is like, okay, so that's what. But then her remembering, I guess, that was supposed to be the impetus to her be like, but you know who doesn't love me? This Josh. Because mom, Josh, actually, now that I think about it, doesn't love me, especially not like as much as all the other guys like Mike did. He won't even let me come to his home. He doesn't want to spend not one holiday with me, not Halloween, not Christmas. He didn't invite me to Christmas, said that he doesn't want his daughter to like meet me. We're supposed to assume that at some point this now they have called each other and been like, meet me for a weird coastal lunch. Okay, I'll meet you at that weird pier for the coastal lunch. Okay, and that's the scene where she comes in, he sees her, she doesn't give him eye contact, and she sits down and she won't hug him. Like, am I right? Like, that's like what the storyline is.
Yeah, it's very A to C, and I just needed to see B.
Why didn't they give us, yeah, like, they didn't give us a phone call, a text, like a little flashback of them having an awkward exchange. I'm so interested why they didn't give us a scene where Natalie was like, Josh, for Christmas, I would love to, you know, bring some gifts for your kids and get to know them. And plus, I don't have anywhere to go for Christmas, you know, with my mom, you know. And he's like in Arizona and he's like, well, you can't come with your mom, you know. And she's like, but Josh, I live now in California where you told me, you know, like, we don't get that conversation, really. Like, what we get is her talking about it and then this scene. So now this scene is her just basically having already been like, it's obvious you don't love me. Don't even try and tell me you don't love me. And he's kind of like, well, I care for you.
Yeah, I did everything I could. He is so excited for this breakup. He is so excited for it because the way that he allows her just to like walk away as though it was her idea is so fuckboy brilliant of him. She gets there and she's like, oh, I don't know, hug you. And she's another person with lots of like things in her hair. What is that called? Extensions. So she walks up, you know, the way she walks up kind of reminds me of like, you know, at the beginning of Golden Girls, when they have the like montage of all them and Blanche walking out of her bedroom with the like head, the mask.
It's nose up.
With the silk outfit. She's like, Dorothy, I'll do it. And then like walks. Okay. That is what she looks like. If you guys know the beginning of Golden Girls.
Yes, yes.
Where Rue McClanahan, aka Blanche, just like walks from the bedroom with such authority with her silk outfit on. Okay. And so then she's like, I don't want to hug. And then she's like, I deserve more, Josh. Okay, I give you everything. I'm one in a million woman, and I don't deserve to not know anything. You don't even want inviting to meet your family. I move here for you. Me and mama's here for you. And there's nothing, I don't know what I can do. And he's like, well, I'm very sorry, Natalie. I'm giving you everything that I can give you, and I do care for you a lot. And she's like, Josh, it's 2 years of my life. And he's like, it's also 2 years of my life. And this is where we end. This is where we're at. And I'm sorry, I can't give you everything that you ever wanted. I have given you everything that I can. I've got a lot going on in my life. And, you know, and she's just like, okay, well, you know, I can't have weak man. I can't have weak man and you're weak. So she does all the things. She insults him, calls him weak. She also talks about how she is, you know, don't be treating her like a regular. I'm not a regular woman, Josh. I have camera crew follow me around, okay? I help you. I'm not a regular American or even Ukrainian woman. I deserve love. And everything
don't you
that
look
she's...
at me in my eyes. Look at my eyes.
Everything that woman says to him, I think to myself, you left Mike for this. You left Mike, who would have given you this had you at least gotten an interpreter job, had you tried anything to actually make money in this world, you would have more right now because Mike would have done it for you. And you chase this stupid dream with a stupid fuckboy, and this is what happens. Men bring me so much pain. Maybe I'm meant to be alone, and that's okay. I'll be alone. And we're all like, you're not going to be alone. What are you talking about? I have to have someone to heal me. And Josh is not here to heal me.
I'll be honest. I agree with her because of what she wants. It just took her so long. She wants to play by the old school rules. Like, so, I mean, for her, it's like, yeah, girl, you like, she thought that she like had hooked a fuckboy. And the truth of the matter is she never did. Like she put all her eggs in his basket and like didn't vet him. And she like didn't do all like the, you know, super like trad stuff that she could have done. Like, you know, I've been saying like, you know, like she's not making it seem like that she has any other prospects but him. She you know, like she, and this is like very interesting. She's like, she breaks down. She's like, I have nothing here. You know, I'm in Los Angeles. I just have my mom, which is true. But half of me is like, why don't you like at this point have any other friends in America? Like this, like Mike, you have your closet, but like you've been here enough. Like you should have more friends. Like you're in LA. It's not hard to make friends. The same thing with Rob. It's like not hard to like, you know, make some money when you have like certain things going for you, like attractiveness. For her, I do think that like she's weird for her not to have friends. And the second thing is she needs to like date multiple men and then like use them against each other. She's not in a place to like land a guy who she thinks is super attractive and can give her a job. And like, thanks God, like in her mind, Josh like is like a talent agent and has connections and I want him and he's so hot. And it's like, Natalie, you're not gonna be able to get a guy with both. You're gonna, you're gonna have to like try and get like a disgusting guy that can give you good connections or a hot guy, which if you, and I think with your celebrity, you absolutely could get a hot guy, but like, you know, he's not gonna like be able to like pay for things.
Yep.
So
you're right.
That's what it is, babe. And I'm just telling you because I think that that's what you're going for. And if it's not you're going for, I'm not saying you have to do that, but that's what feels like you want. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she, it ends with that. She allows him to give her a hug. And she actually gives him like a good hug. She like jumps on her tippy toes and grabs him around his neck. And then, the next thing we have is her hugging the tree, crying.
Yeah.
And then sitting on the curb, bawling into her hands with cute shoes. So
the hugging a tree. I like to hug trees, by the way. Did you ever hug a tree?
No.
Why?
I'm worried about the texture. And also I'm worried about ants or bugs getting on me that are actually on the tree after I hug it.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
So, okay. So last, but certainly not least is Veronica and Jamal. So they are on the car ride home after this date that Jamal found to be awkward. The date in which, Veronica spoke to, Luisa in what feels like 5 minutes worth of conversation, but perhaps it was more. And, she's like, he's like, do you always feel the need to protect or like make Tim's girlfriends feel comfortable? It's like, he has a problem with that. And then he's like, also, do you always feel like you have to do things for Tim? Because it's weird that like, he doesn't know how to order his own steak. And she's like, no, I admit to you that it's weird that he doesn't know how to order his own steak, but you know, it's, I want to make everybody in the situation feel comfortable. And you know, he's just like, I keep making these choices and we're just going to see what happens. And I was like, oh, okay. That's, and then she like on an offhand compares like the mother son relationship to her and Tim, which I saw what she was trying to do because she really does see Tim as like a family, but Jamal found it to be wildly fucking inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Wildly inappropriate.
Yeah.
To the point where he then starts to gaslight her. But so that's just, I feel like this entire ride, he is saying all things in a calm voice. And when she then is like having a reaction to it, he's like, why are you yelling? Why are you getting upset? Why are you raising your voice? Why are you? And she's like, well, because I'm not raising my voice at you. I'm just passionate about what I'm saying right now. And he's like, oh, like, so that's where the gaslighting to me begins.
Both people are, I think, insufferable, but like, I think that he wants to say this, why are you because when she's in this dinner, she's like, this is how, you know, Tim wants a steak. And then she like, instead of acquiescing to make, you know, the girlfriend feel like she also has ownership over the man that she's dating, she then like, is kind of like, well, this is who he is. And let me tell you, if you know, like what it's like. And I think that what Jamal was trying to say is like, why do you feel the need to, you know, control every part of like what's happening in the social situation. But instead she's like, no, I'm just speaking Spanish to someone who would rather speak Spanish. And I don't think she is like, I need to speak Spanish right now with someone. I feel like she even like kind of put that on her, but okay. And then Jamal is like, the way that she's talking to him, she's like, well, I'm just doing it because I'm doing it. She's yes, raising her voice, but in it also sounds condescending, which is why I think Jamal's like, well, don't speak to me like I'm a child. Stop raising your voice to me. I'm not a child. And that is when she won't. She's like, well, that's when I think that she gets, you know, truly indefensible. She like loses her goddamn mind. They should never have been together. They don't have chemistry. I don't see them even like enjoying any sort of romantic vibes together. But in this situation, she and Tim have weird vibes that they have to get over their own connection, because I think it's going to be detrimental for them to experience that with someone else. They're in some sort of like trauma bond together. And that's what's very fucking obvious. And Jamal, I don't think has emotional IQ to say that, but what he's feeling, he can't quite say. And so I think that that's him doing that. But if you were around the toxicity of Veronica and Tim and saw the relationship, I would never want to be around it. I would be like, oh, you're in a relationship with someone. It's not respectful for me. The way you're being with that person and the way that you're allowing that person to be with you is not respectful for my place in your life. Truly. So I blame her, and she's more seasoned in this case than Jamal and should know better.
I guess I just saw it as, I see what you're saying. I saw it more so if him trying to communicate, but then not being able to do it. And so he then latches on to the fact that they spoke Spanish. So she says that she wants to make Luisa comfortable. And then he changes the subject matter. He changes who he's specifically talking about when he then has his follow-up question. And she's like, well, I just wanted to do that for her. And he's like, I'm not talking about Luisa specifically. And she's like, oh, when did we switch the subject matter? Like, when did we switch from talking about Luisa's specific situation to me and Tim and all of his girlfriend's situation? And so he then is like, I don't know why you keep bringing up Luisa. She's like, because you specifically said about Luisa and about me speaking Spanish. And he's like, no, I changed the subject. That's how it felt to me. And so I could see completely where she was going from that. And then he's like, oh, you look really mad. And she's like, I am mad, because now you're like making it about something else when your original question was specifically about Luisa. And then he's like, don't treat me like a child. And she's like, what? I'm just having a conversation with you and it's passionate. So if I'm raising my voice, it's not because I'm yelling at you as a person. I'm just frustrated with this situation. And then she gets upset. She takes off her mic and she lets her dog out. And he's like, so do you want me to leave? I'm like, how did you jump from, you know, talking about specifically Luisa, then to don't raise your voice at me because I'm not a child? And then when she just like is like, I'm done, I don't want to have this conversation anymore, he's like, so do you want me to leave? And she's like, what? I didn't say I wanted you to leave. I just said I'm done with this conversation right now. And he's like, this is way too extra. And I'm like, you don't get to say inflammatory things, remain calm in your voice and your tenor, and then escalate it and make it seem like it's more than what's happening in order to make her feel like she's wrong. It was, to me, classic gaslighting.
I can see what you're saying, because I feel like, okay, I think what he wanted to say is you and Tim have a toxic relationship where you feel like, and I feel like what she did is like, he's not saying clearly what he's trying to say, which is, why do you feel the need to control the situation? Because you don't need to control him or her. You just need to be with me. And she's like, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. He's like, why are you yelling? And she's like, I'm just passionately telling you, you know, this. And I think that she becomes, you know, very defensive in this situation. And he, I don't know. I think that he's just neither not feeling it or not feeling an end to it, you know, like feeling there'd be no end. And I think it's because she has no awareness to even acquiesce that they have a toxic relationship, that there are certain patterns that she can see how she can fall into, that she feeds into, that she could be better about. I think in this situation, he wants to see that. He never says any of that. But I think if she had given him a little more of, I see what you're talking about. I don't need to control that. I can just let them be and not have a control of their relationship, because she's like, I want to make him feel good. I want to make her feel good. And it's like, let him have his relationship. Like, that's the truth. It's like, you'd have no, it's crazy and weird. It feels very weird for you to even have such a care. And the truth of the matter is, in the same way, it feels crazy that he is so into this relationship, and you being so into his relationship is why he feels like he has to be so in this relationship. This relationship between me and you will never be healed, because you are both feeding into each other in such a way, and you have no awareness that it's going to ever stop.
Correct. Yeah, you're right. I think that you are correct. However, he did not say that. So that is wherein the problem lies, is that he's unable to communicate how he's feeling. And so he does other things to belittle what she's feeling. And that's where I get what you're saying. Like, she is wrong in this, as far as the overarching way that her and Tim interact with each other and interact with each other's partners. There is a boundary that has been crossed. You are correct. But he doesn't have the nomenclature to be able to do that. So he's shaming her instead. And that's...
If you were dating Tim and I went to a dinner where I saw Veronica with you and Tim, I would be like, you can't fucking date him. She's going to kill you in your fucking sleep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's the vibe.
Ooh, that's a strong vibe. All right. That's
She's a strong woman. Okay.
She has a lovely home. Every time I see that house, I'm like, God damn it. I want a lovely home. All right, you guys. Thank you for sitting down and unpacking this Jamal, Veronica, Tim, Louisa conundrum that have been foisted upon us because we didn't want it. But if you did want to see the visuals of what you're listening to, you want to see Chris's red shirt and my blue shirt, then you could join us on patreon.com/docusweeties for $10 a month. You get exclusive content such as a live every first Monday of the month and other stuff. So if you're interested in that, please join us on patreon.com/docusweeties for $10 a month. You could just join us and be there and hear all the juicy gossip. Go ahead.
Yes. Also, you can follow us at Instagram on Instagram at docusweeties. Also, we are at docusweeties1 on X. We have at docusweeties on TikTok, and the Facebook group is the docusweeties podcast Facebook group. We love you guys so much. Consider giving us 5 stars if you haven't yet. Okay. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.